CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up around 11:30, we'll hear Nick Sirianni, who joined Joe and John this morning. At 12:30, Ross Tucker. And we have to ask him, should we take the Vikings seriously? They're now 12-2. We'll kind of lay out the path for the three teams vying for the one seed coming up at 12 today. Kiss the baby later in the show as we try to eliminate another NFL team.
Yeah, it's getting hard now, man.
With the goal of a perfect playoff bracket. We know someone around here will not have a perfect playoff bracket.
No, because I missed two.
Yeah, well, actually, you and Kyle both will not, because Kyle eliminated the Vikings in week one, and they are
alive. They're very much alive.
You know what? Shut up.
They're 12-2
in the season. They're still alive.
And don't forget, as the show goes along today, we're going to find out what's in Hugh's holiday stocking, brought to you by Gerhard's Appliances and Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey. In fact, can we hear the sounder that you will be listening for? When you hear the sounder later on in the show today, you will call in for a chance to play what's in Hugh's holiday stocking when you hear this.
It's Hugh's holiday stocking.
First of all, you look like a big old candy cane.
Yes, that is your cue to call in later in the show when you hear that. Next time we play it, and Thursday will be our last day, so only a few days to qualify for what's in Hugh's Holiday Stocking, sponsored by Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey and Gerhard's Appliances. In a couple minutes, we're going to tell you about some food we're having today, including some, Jack Honey-infused food. We'll get to that. We got some great food here. We'll tell you who brought it in and what it is in just a few minutes. First, though, before we go back to the phone lines, can we hear some of the players after the game? Because there's a lot of conversation today of, did we overreact? As a fan base, as a city, did we overreact to what happened last week? I think the players tell the story, right? They told the story last week. There was something going on. They obviously handled it. They won a football game. Great. But after the game, they didn't shy away from saying, yeah, it was a weird week around here. Listen to Lane Johnson after the game Sunday talking about, sometimes, brothers fight.
But I wasn't here for the team meeting Wednesday. I was at a funeral, but I think there was olive branches extended. I think, everybody kissed and made up. And, sometimes brothers fight, and we have a lot of great players on this team. So that's really how I see it. Just brothers disagreeing, and it came out and answered the bell tonight.
Sometimes brothers fight, Hugh.
Which is true.
Yep.
Which is true. But to sit there, my thing is to sit there and act like this was fabricated. That's the part that irritates me. Or, when I hear people say, well, you know how you guys are. Okay, I hear you. And I was on the other side before. But a lot of times when things happen, it's because it's not like I know media members that have made up stories before, but this was not one that was fabricated by us. This is one that basically was stoked. This fire was stoked. Because Sunday it was a non-issue. It was an issue back and forth. We talked about it. Whether you were on the side that it was a non-factor or it was a big deal, it was discussed. But we were preparing to move on from it and get ready for the next game, because that's what fans do. And then when this all came out the way that it did, that added fuel to the fire. That made it a national story. And it made it what everybody was talking about. And like I said, when you put family business out there, you open yourself up for all kinds of speculation, whether it's true or not. That's what you do. So when you sit there and say, oh, it was a non-story or whatever, they thought it was. Brandon felt compelled enough to go in for 20 minutes and talk about it.
Well, you ever around a couple, Hugh, that they fight a lot in public, like around other friends and people? What is the natural thing to wonder?
What's going on at home?
If they're doing that in public. So that's what I wondered last week. Like, hey, if Brandon's bringing this out to the public eye, and obviously, AJ was frustrated after the game, what's going on when we're not around? Like that, when there's no cameras around, when there's no microphones around. It was natural to wonder all that. I mean, I think the conversation last week was natural because AJ, he started it, and then he left it open to interpretation.
And that's what we do. We interpret.
Well, that's what anyone would do.
What was being said.
Any fan would hear what AJ said a week ago, said passing is the biggest issue with the offense. And you could interpret that as Kellen Moore. You could interpret it as just overall. You could interpret it as whatever.
Because it was open-ended.
Or you could interpret it as the quarterback. And that's what we all did, because that's what fans do. I just think last week was a – you know, my whole life as a fan, last week was a very normal fan week. It just was led by their conversation that we talked about. And I think the best thing is that they responded off it. 215-592-9494. But a lot of people out there today do believe that we as a whole overreacted. Hugh Douglas obviously does not. Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
Angry Hugh is my new favorite persona.
It's one of my, it's one of the best. It's one of the best. Fired up Hugh.
He's the sleeper in the field of Hughes coming up in March. I'm going to say that.
That 12 seed you do not want to see in the first round.
No. So initially I told Kyle I thought we did overreact. But after reevaluating the evidence and listening to Hugh, what were we supposed to do? AJ comes out and says what he says, and we always want guys to be honest, but sometimes they can't we can't handle it when they do. And then BG comes in the next night and says, hold my beer. I got a 5-gallon can of gasoline on my back and a flamethrower, whoosh, and just lit it up. So what exactly are we supposed to say? And then Lane, what he said yesterday after or Sunday after the game, he basically confirmed it too. So, you know, it's not an overreaction. Did we overreact to their winning the game by, you know, barely winning? Maybe, but no, we weren't. There was nothing else we could do. They laid it out for us, and that's what we do. And they always say they love the passion of the fans. Well, here's the passion of the fans. Get your act together and win some games. And that's what they did.
Jeff, I agree with the way you framed it. Yeah, like in retrospect, you know, they had one, I guess you call it down performance against Carolina, and they had run off so many good ones. Maybe in retrospect we overreacted to that particular game. But that game, Jeff, was actually very little of the conversation. That was Monday. But then once we got to Tuesday, we almost forgot about the game, and it was more about, like, hey, the locker room and the whole big picture of it. So, yeah, like that part, sure. Yeah, maybe it was overreaction off of one game because they played well for so long. But the rest of the stuff was just natural. Like, you hear that, and you're like, what's going on?
I know. And I think it's because we've got such a good team. I don't care if we hear it. We don't need it to happen. But I'm glad that they, you know, got it straightened out here, you know, before this game on Sunday, this past Sunday. Obviously they did. But we just don't need that this year. Last year, it could have, you know, at the end of the year, that kind of stuff was probably going on a lot. But this year, look, man, we got a team that could win the Super Bowl here. We don't need all this, you know, infighting.
Well, that's it. Yeah, and I think that was the deep down thing. And Jeff, we appreciate Hugh. That was kind of really what was driving me to be worried about it. It wasn't like, I get it, brothers fight. I mean, you lived a life of, like, players, and you gave stories last week. You recounted for us the moment where you were on the team bus, right? And you and a teammate had an issue. And
Brian Mitchell was about to beat me up. Yeah.
Right. But then you guys figured it out.
Yeah.
And it was okay. But
and that was something that nobody knew.
Right.
And it was one of those things that didn't need to be known. There's plenty of times that there has been stories that we've told on the air that nobody knew about.
Now, let's go back in time. I don't know what year that was. 01, 02, whatever year it was, for 2000. Hugh, if that story had come out, if you or B. Mitch after the game had kind of brought that to our attention, and I know the media is different now and there's just way more, things explode faster because it's just social media. But, Hugh, I guarantee you, Angelo and every show on at that time,
they would have talked about it.
What's
going on? What's going on between these guys and yada, yada, yada. We don't need this because we're in the throes of da, 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 da. Everybody wants it to be. It's never like that. And like I said, there's a lot that is going on with that team that we don't even talk about because it's not worth it, because it's not my job to break stories. But when you sit here and I feel like I'm being treated like I'm the bad guy because of something that you did. I'm responsible for that. Dog don't hunt with me. It doesn't. And you know, I know I felt like I was in my feelings a little bit this morning, but own it. Own whatever you did, own it, because you did it. Like, that's the problem that I have. It's like, not a narrative is, well, you know how you guys in the media are. Dog, what do you mean? We would have went on about our merry day and talked about what we talked about if you wouldn't have said nothing. But you did. And then you're mad. Like, you're mad at me for talking about something you did. You did it. You're the one that brought it to our attention. And nobody else did it but you. But then now it spun into a positive. Now you're like, well, hey, you know how you guys are. Y'all taking it run with it. Well, hell, you sat there on the air and talked about how bad it is between the two of them.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you're right about that.
You gave details. AJ, the only thing AJ did was leave it ambiguous. He left it open. He left it for us to speculate. Hell, you put hot sauce and ketchup on it. You gave us detail.
And it was like the spicy hot sauce.
Yeah, you gave
like
us. You the one that gave us the detail. Oh, they don't like each other. They got beef. Nobody thought that. We kept it to football. And then for them folks, they were, y'all ain't talking about football. We were talking about football when AJ said, when he said passing. Hmm. That's all we thought. But you were like, no, they got beef. Then it became something else.
Well, to go back to the hot sauce analogy here, you ever get really hot sauce on something?
I don't fool with hot sauce.
Well, I know you don't. I do. I fool with hot sauce. And sometimes when you put too much or you have really hot sauce, you no longer even taste the food, right? Like that's, you just taste the hot sauce. That's what last week was. Brandon overpowered the football stuff because he brought it all to our attention. All right, let's hear AJ after the game. AJ Brown talking about the week that was, what they had to go through, where they got to. But it does paint the picture of, yeah, last week was a thing and then they moved past it.
It's easy for us to have these tough conversations to call each other out because we know what we want. What we want at the end, and it makes it easier when we're close. So,
is there anything that being on the same page this week is ready to prepare for that? Take the next couple of games. Is that work?
Yeah, I think like I said earlier, the long repetitive meetings on top of the meetings that we already have. I think there's we may keep doing that.
So, how long?
It was just a point of emphasis this week, and I think we're gonna move forward. They were pretty long. They were just added throughout our long day already. I'm not complaining about that anyway. But when you talk about something 10 times, you're like, okay, like, we got it. But it's needed though. It's needed, and who cares how long we stay in there, because we come out and we put on performance like today. So.
Well, he said it. I mean, they had extra meetings. They solved the problem.
I like how he said it. Long repetitive.
Sounds like long talking.
He kept saying it. So it was like that. We still talking about this mess? Guess why we still talking
because
about it?
Because you brought it to our attention. All right, 215-592-9494. Here, before we go back to the phones here, we got to thank our friends from Craft Hall in Center City for another Jack Daniels-infused food drop in celebration, of course, of what's in Hugh's holiday stocking, contest. Craft Hall, full experience with classic American cuisine, a brewery on site, live music, full playground, and a hybrid dog park and a beer garden. It's an awesome place. And they brought us today a ton of food. I see, do you have the crispy spare ribs over there?
Yeah, I got
there?
The ribs.
With the bourbon glaze?
With the bourbon glaze.
Yeah, they also brought us Jack Daniel's honey whiskey infused chicken pizza, which I imagine is going to go very quickly.
It's gone out.
I've been crushing that back here.
We got guests in the studio. Yeah. And I'm y'all probably need to go in there like right now, dog, because it's about to be gone.
Nah, none for you.
Now, we offered our guests some food,
no,
Kyle.
I'm just saying,
Kyle just wants to eat more.
Yeah, I'm saying, but I told him, I was like, yo, dog, y'all might want to, go in there and get some because it's about to get ugly.
Yeah, the food is great. A buffalo cauliflower Cobb salad as well. They brought a ton of food. It's a great place. Check them out over at Craft Hall in Center City. We appreciate them coming by today. And yeah, I have to imagine that pizza is going to go very, very fast. Chuck in Mount Airy. What's up, Chuck?
Yo, Gilio, what's the dealio?
What's going on,
man? Hey, Chuck.
Hey, man, let me call you and just say this, right? Here's the thing, right, about the Eagles. The Eagles are a great football team, okay? And most great football teams and most great championship teams and most great players, they do this. They make stuff up in their head, okay, just to drive them, just to, to galvanize them, whatever the case may be, that's what they do, all right? They're a great football team. Great football teams do that. Great basketball teams do that. Michael Jordan did it for years. Tom Brady did it for years. Just made stuff up. So I don't care if they saying we overreacted. I don't care. Because if they go and host at Lombardi, we would have done our job. And that's all I care about at this point. As a fan, I can't go out there and tackle nobody. I can't go out there and throw a football. I can't go out there and catch a football. So my only goal is just to focus on them going out there and doing all those things to get it corrected. And if I got to go out here and be blamed for bringing it up or for continuing to talk about it or for whatever they want to blame me for, I'll take that. As long as you bring that Lombardi home at the end of the year, I don't care how you do it and what you put in your mind to do it, then just do it. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, we're all going to be celebrating on Broad Street when they bring that championship home. So my thing is this. Maybe did we overreact? I don't think we overreacted. No. Did we make up the story? No. Obviously with PG, AJ Brown, Jalen Hurts, all these guys, those guys in the locker room brought this to our attention, and we just talked about it like we normally do. But the fact of the matter is this: I don't give a damn. That's the main thing, because I want a second trophy. So if you need to make this up, again, I say this, make it up. I'll be the fall guy. We'll be the fall guys for this. Because at the end of the day, the big reward is going to be hoisting that Lombardi trophy. So blame me. Blame me. I take it. As long as I get to say we got two Super Bowls now. Two Super Bowls. One in 2017, one in 2024. Make everything up in your head. That's how Jordan got six.
Yeah,
rings.
Chuck, I
That's
love that analogy. You're right.
Who cares?
That's.
I mean,
lying
to me.
I love it. I mean, we'll be the bad guy. We'll be the boogeyman, the bad guy. Chuck, great phone call. It reminds me of the story. Remember in the Last Dance documentary, the Bulls documentary?
Yeah.
There was a story, I think the player's name was LeBradford Smith. He had one 30-point game against the Bulls, and Jordan said after the game that that player, LeBradford Smith, came up to him and said, nice game, Mike, because Mike struggled that night. And so he got in his head, like, the next time I face this guy, I'm going to kill him, and I'm going to destroy him. And then he did, and then, like, years later during the documentary, he admitted he made the whole thing up. LeBradford Smith never said, nice game, Mike, but he created it in his head. I mean, I don't know if you ever did this, probably a teammate
all
did
the time.
It's fine.
I mean, I get it, and I understand where they're coming from. I understand, because we talked about this. Joe was like, hey, if you want to make us out to be the bad guy, then make us out to be the bad guy.
Sure.
But when you, like, I understand reality and fabricating stuff, but now y'all doubling down and tripling down on the fact that we did this, that. Oh, dog, not, I'm crazy too. I don't like that. I didn't like the feeling like we were the ones that did this, and that's all I'm saying. I was in my feelings a little bit.
I know. It's okay. I mean, you were. I mean, it's been a very...
I'm competitive, too.
A lot of feelings out there around Eagles land these days. A lot of feelings.
Too. I'm competitive, too.
You know what I noticed, Kyle? I noticed that Hugh's feelings... Hugh calmed down once the food arrived. I mean,
like the kids say, when I start getting texts on my dog, you sound like you crashed out.
Yeah, it's about to be nap time for you.
You know what I mean? I'm like, hold up. I'm not crashing out. I'm just listening. And I'm like, hold up, dog. I didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
Don't be blaming me. I don't like to feel like I'm being blamed for something I ain't do. If I did it, I would admit it. I ain't did nothing.
Coming up later, a full ranking of who at WIP is most to blame for last week. Hugh Douglas at number one. Little spoiler there. Let's go to Will in South Philly. What's up, Will?
What's going on, WIP?
What's hey, up, Will?
OMG. Hugh.
What, man?
I did not call the radio show, but I had to get on the phone today.
What's up, man?
Look, man. Oh, where can I start? All right, let me start somewhere. Look, man, first of all, Hugh, I do want to congratulate you, bro, because I'm not going to long talk you. I'm going to answer your question directly.
Okay.
Hugh, it's not your fault. You did your job, bro, and you did it immaculately.
I like that word, immaculately. I like
and
that.
And if it's not, and you know better than anybody if I didn't pronounce it correctly.
No, you didn't, but it's cool. I like it. We're going to roll with it. It's cool.
From South Philly to L.A., this was the biggest story in the world.
it really was.
Sports-wise. But we knew no matter how much talking was going down, it was going to come down to how the Eagles did on Sunday. And they showed up, and they showed out.
No doubt.
Now, let's leave the talk behind us, because the flavor in the streets right now is that we passed the eye test. We know we got the best team in football. That's the flavor in the street. So right about now, we need to be hearing some cool in the gang celebration. Because you know what? Hugh, I heard it in your voice. You sounded like you wanted to move some furniture around earlier. I hear that you calmed down a little bit, but damn, Hugh. Ain't that deep, bro.
No, it's not. You're right. It's not. But it's one of those things, man, when – you hear something, and, you know, I've been in this game a little while, and when I hear people constantly say, like, basically saying, hey, you know, it was y'all fault. No, it wasn't. It wasn't my fault.
Nope.
You know what I mean? And that's kind of what I got caught up in.
Hugh.
Yes.
I got you, bro. Believe me, the streets got love for you. We got your back. We knew, just like BG. He misspoke, but we ain't taking it that deep.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And you know I love BG, man. That's my guy.
But when you came on the radio, you were making it deeper than what it was by the way that you were coming across.
This is my therapy session.
This is a great job.
Well, is you done this okay? Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Will, good phone call,
Hey, Will,
man.
I appreciate you calling in, man. I'm okay.
Have you ever seen Good Will Hunting?
No.
There's a
scene. Is that with Matt Damon?
Matt Damon and Robin Williams.
Yes.
So Will had a lot of turmoil in his life, right? Mm-hmm. And Robin Williams is kind of like his therapist.
Yes.
And at some point he says, "Will, it's not your fault." And he breaks down crying. He keeps telling him it's not his
fault. So that was my moment.
That was the two of you. He was saying it's not your fault, you. It's not your fault.
Except we welcome the passion here.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
I didn't crash out. I promise.
Don't calm down.
It might have sounded like I did, but I didn't crash out.
Yeah, get fired up again. 215-592-9480. It is your fault, you.
I didn't crash out. You were the one.
You started this fire last week.
I didn't crash out.
This is your fault that the Eagles were in fighting. Hugh Douglas on the radio causing drama. Let's go to Anthony in Jersey. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's
good
up, man?
Anthony. What's up?
Hey, man, I'm going to say this, right? It's not y'all fault at all, man, at all. But I know y'all got a job to do, man. They gave y'all bulletin board material, man. But when they say they include y'all in that, too. The WIP show is with the team. It's us against the world. So, yeah, y'all supposed to eat off that. But, you know, like it's kind of overkill now. Like, it's like y'all stuck in the bone. The meat off the bone now is gone. Like you know, like, it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Y'all spoke about it. It's now Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's now another Tuesday. We still on this? Like I know the nation talking about it. They not with us. But, yeah, y'all ate off the story. Y'all shined some light to it to try to help fix the situation. Are we still talking about this today?
Well, they brought it back up. BG brought it back up. I mean, and they brought it back up. That whole thing with, like, we ran with it. But it was they started the fire, Anthony.
Nah, they did start the fire, man. And y'all did what y'all was supposed to do. They gave y'all what they gave y'all, and y'all supposed to run with it. But come on now, dog. Y'all still running with it. It's a whole nother week.
Okay, Anthony, let me help you out a little bit. We let you long talk a little bit, but let me help you out a little bit. The reason why this was brought up again today is because Brandon and Coach Sirianni said it this morning. When I was riding in, I heard Coach Sirianni, basically, he walked it back, but he basically said, this is a story that we started. And Brandon was on the morning show, and he basically echoed the same thing. So I hear what you're saying, but they're still talking about it. So I'm just piggybacking on what's being talked about. Listen, we appreciate the fact that you listen to the show as much as you do, dog. But I do not pride myself in being repetitive. I react to what's being talked about. And that's what was being talked about this morning, respectfully.
Right. Nah, I understand that. But you know it the best, man. The media dragged that T.O. You and T.O. was fighting.
Man, to this day.
The media dragged.
To this day, Anthony, we still fought. Like, whoever you asked, T.O. knocked me out or I knocked him out. And we was in there fighting naked. Like, it all depends on who you asked. We was in the locker room fighting naked.
Hey, you, man.
I would have rolled him until he told me no.
Hey, you, man. You know, right? Hey,
yes.
You, it's like when your mother or father say something to you about picking up your clothes or whatever she can't
yes.
talk to you about. She says something to you. My clothes picked up. They whatever. You still saying something to me about it? Right,
Anthony,
there.
You know what to say?
Anthony,
and to your point, to this day, I still get asked. Somebody will DM me or say, hey, man, what really happened between you and T.O.? Bruh. It's the nature, and this thing. I don't need that. Me and Anthony, we're having a moment.
I don't give a shit.
And the bottom line is this, Anthony. And the bottom line is this. It's regardless of it's a topic, and we're gonna talk about it, and we're gonna talk. I'm gonna talk about that. It's gonna be talk. Anytime T.O. opens his mouth about anything, my name is probably gonna come up. He's a Hall of Fame player, and all I'm known for is fighting T.O. Like, that's just how, hey, dog. I mean, like, for real. That's my truth. And it's, I hear what you're saying, but it's been like that forever.
I mean,
I'm a part of the news cycle.
It is, you know what I thought about it? It's weird to think of it this way, but it's your part of your story.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, 40 years from now, when you and T.O. are saying goodbye to this world,
yes.
Okay? When they talk about it, they'll be like, Hugh Douglas, NFL player, radio host, and he punched T.O.
Yes, I mean, that's it. Hall of Fame, T.O. had a Hall of Fame career. I played in the NFL for 10 years. More people probably know me for that than what I did in the NFL.
They don't know who he is.
That's just the reality of the way the news cycle works.
It is.
You're right. If I could have one thing, one narrative, that if I could control one piece of that narrative, damn it, y'all ain't going to be lying on me talking about I'm making up stories.
215.
That's not going to happen.
592-9494. The aforementioned Nick Sirianni, you're going to hear what he said to the morning show coming up. His interview, we'll get to all your phone calls here. Did we, as a fan base, overreact last week with all the Eagles drama? We don't think we did. I mean, I don't think so. I think we talked about it. It needed to be talked about appropriately because it was a huge story affecting the team. He was very fired up today. We got some great food we're having here from Kraft Hall in Center City. A lot to do. We'll get to the Vikings thing. They won again last night. Are they for real? Should we include them in the Lions-Eagles conversation? We'll get to that. Ross Tucker as well. 215-592-949 for Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Show Jilly. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. All right, let's get to the phone lines here, and then we're going to let you hear from Nick Sirianni, what he said this morning to Joe and John. Let's go to Kenny. Who's up? Kenny!
Hey, guys. I just want to make sure that poor widow Huey's widow feelings aren't too hurt.
That ain't funny,
so
Kenny.
Get your widow out of pop.
That is not funny.
Listen, bud. Hey, Hugh. Since when do you care? I mean, look how you dress and come to work, man. Let your freak flag fly. If they say it's your fault, say, damn right it's my fault. Own it, man. Own it. Because you know what? Just like I can't believe I'm bleeding with Chuck from Mount Air, but he's right. Every team has some sort of rallying cry. Remember Malcolm Jenkins? We all we got, we all we need. Remember the dog masks? All right, so now you should be saying, we're winning because of you, Hugh. Because you kept the damn thing going. It pissed them off, and they're winning. Own it.
I kind of like this. Maybe I should take credit for this. This is not because of Jalen Hurts. It's because of me they played well last week. I like that idea.
I like how Kenny said, look how you dress when you come to work.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny, just because he dresses like Cousin Eddie, I mean, doesn't mean anything.
You know what? You got a point. I was in my feelings this morning, man. I just was like, you know. I woke up and it was cold. I was like, damn it, it's not my fault.
Well, it's funny. Kenny, Hugh walked in. He's like, this doesn't have to be the show, but I'm fired up about this. And Kyle and I were like, no, this is it. I mean, this is what we're going to do now.
No, I'm just listening and I'm like, dude, how is this my fault? How is this my fault? But then I get it.
And own it.
Yeah,
own
right. It's all your fault, Hugh.
I need to own it. Yes. I need to own it.
You are now, just negative, Nancy. Go ahead.
I do dress like a toddler, though.
Keep in mind with the Vikings a couple things. The Vikings and the Lions have to play the last game of the season, but one of them's got to lose.
Yep.
And either a loss or a tie helps us. And as far as the Vikings go, I don't care about them, except for 2022, we do not go to the Super Bowl without beating the Vikings in the playoffs. 80, 2004, 2017, the Vikings are our ticket to the Super Bowl. So I want them to keep winning.
That's a good point, Kenny. Yeah, we need to beat them to get to the Super Bowl. All right, and we probably will have to. All right, Kenny, we appreciate it. All right, let's hear Sirianni. He was on this morning. He addressed the last week. He addressed the situation. And now looking forward as this football team is on the path to potentially having a one seed. Here's Sirianni with Joe and John.
And Nick Sirianni joins us right now. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Nick, hi, Nick. Congratulations on a 10-game winning streak. I mean, that is first time in the franchise history. It's a remarkable achievement. And, of course, from last week with some drama that was kicking around, I've got to imagine you are exceedingly proud of your football team and what you guys have been able to accomplish the last couple months now.
Yeah, that was a tough football team we played this week. We came out with a win. And to do something that, with this organization, to do something that's never been done in this organization, that always feels good. But you know what? That lasted for a little bit, and now we're on to the Commanders.
Nick, was last week tough for you or not?
You know, again, like last week, there obviously we talked about this. Like, you know, there was some outside noise as we saw, and you know what our what I saw that after, and you know obviously we kind of created it, right? But after we kind of addressed it and went through it, it was kind of a, you know, it was just kind of non-issue for us anymore. We just went back to work, and again, I just have so much respect for these guys and the resiliency that they have, and the, you know, no matter what it is, they're locked in, they're focused, and they're ready to go. And I think, again, I know, you know, again, you guys only get to see a little bit part of this, but that story lasted for the week of for the outside world. But for us, it was I'm not gonna sit here and say it didn't. You know, we talked about it, we spent some time on it, but it lasted one and a half days, and then we had moved on.
Did it feel like Jalen was affirming you when he spoke of watering specific areas of the yard from week to week, game plan to game plan?
Oh, I don't know. We say a lot. I say a lot of things he says. He says a lot of things I say. And, you know, I think that happens because we spend so much time together. You know, I think I've said a lot. The standard is what it is, and I know that's a big line Jalen says. So we spend a lot of time together. We want what's best for this football team, and man, I'm so glad he's our quarterback.
So we saw the benefits of watering the passing game last week. What do you think still needs watering for this team?
Yeah, just to get better every single day. You know, we have things, we have specific things we always want to work on. You know, there's going to be a new set of things to work on versus particular opponents, like particularly the Commanders this week. And so we just want to keep getting better. We want to just keep putting, you know, money in our account so we can keep getting better. And that's all our focus is. Again, I think what happened, you know, again, I've said this multiple times that I really believe that our passing game has been so efficient through the past couple months. Now I know we haven't thrown for a lot of yards, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's hard to rush for all the yards we've rushed for and throw for all the yards. As well, it's just not enough plays in the game. There's not enough things, you know, not enough ball to go around for that. And so, but I feel like we've been highly, highly, highly efficient. You know, looking at Jalen's quarterback rating, looking at the yards per attempt, looking at how many turnovers we've had. And so he's just been highly efficient, and you know, it was good to get some passing yards the way the game was being played this week. But I just think, you know, again, we've continued to improve in every area of our game, from our fundamentals, offensively, defensively, special teams wise, and we just got to keep on our path, and our focus will be solely on the Washington Commanders this week.
It appeared that Jalen made quicker choices and threw more 50-50 balls into the single coverages that you guys were getting against the Steelers. What went into that? That risk reward balance in the passing game being just dead on this week.
Yeah, you know, we with AJ Brown, because those vertical balls were going to him, we don't look at those as 50-50. With Jalen putting it on the money like he did, like AJ has maybe the best ball skills I've ever seen. Not maybe, he has the best ball skills I've ever seen.
Wow.
Of a receiver that I've been around or that I've watched. And he just, you can tell how much catch AJ played growing up. He's obviously got a God given ability, to be able to catch a football. But you can just tell, like, I could just see him, growing up playing catch with the football, with the baseball, and it's just so impressive to watch him track a football. And Jalen put those things right on the money. I mean, it really, we're seeing something special every time that there's a deep ball from Jalen to AJ, because Jalen throws a pretty deep ball, and AJ, like I said, man, he's got an incredible ability to track the football.
Nick Sirianni with us right now, obviously riding high with the 10-game winning streak and playoff berth already and a shot to win it all this year. You know, Nick, I've got a theory. You know, we have a lot of theories and a lot of conversation here at WIP about your team and you. And one of the things that has struck me is I think that you, I don't know if it's intentional or not, and that's what I want to find out, blend new school and old school principles as a coach. And I'm curious from your standpoint how intentional it is. I mean, here's the way I see it. New school, and you were criticized for some of this upon your arrival as a head coach. Connectivity, less taxing training camps. You clearly don't publicly criticize your players. Bobby Knight did not adhere to that rule, by the way. But old school, and you've been big on this for 4 years. We hear you talk about it. Accountability. We saw you get on Jalen Carter the other day during the game. Physical toughness. You constantly talk about you want your team to be physically tough, mentally tough, which, of course, you know, I think you term dog mentality. But basically what you're saying is be resilient. Attention to detail. I mean, these are traits that the Bobby Knights of the world would admire. And I'm curious if you can speak to how intentional it has been from your standpoint to blend old school principles and new school principles with your coaching.
Yeah, sure. That's a good question. I think that, you know, there are truths to this sport and any sport, really, that are going to stand the test of time, no matter if it's when Bobby Knight's coaching, when I'm coaching, you name a coach in 20 years from now, 40 years from now, when I'm long gone. Like, those, like, playing with high detail is going to be important. Having accountability to get better, right? Accountability, again, it's all about how do we get better. It's not an attack on anything. It's just how do we get better from the moments that we did well on, or the moments that we failed to live up to our standard. all those things, tough physical toughness in this sport. Shoot, I mean, you know, I know my kids. I say to them every time they go out, have fun, play hard, be physical. My three kids, and you know they're going to be saying that because it's going to be the truth, no matter if you know again whatever year it is. Those are the truths of football, and so that is the old school approach that we have because it's just so, you know, it's so what it is, and it's always going to be that way, and it's never going to change, especially in this physical sport of football. As far as the whatever you want to say, new school, you know, where did I learn the how important it is to connect well from my dad with his former players and my college coach so much with him, and those guys are as old school as they get, and so. I don't know. It's just the things that when you come up with the core values of what you want your programs and your team to be based off of, you look at all the good places that you've been and what's been the common denominator of it. And that's all that is. So some of it may be looked at as old school. Some of it may be looked at as new school. I know that my dad, I didn't get it from my dad. I knew they used to have camp practices where they'd have 3 days, right? So, like, I don't think I got that far from them.
Yeah.
Because the rules are a little bit different at this particular point. But make no mistake about it. Like, you know, because you say training camp, this and that. Our guys practice hard. It's a different type of way you do it. You might not be out there for 3 hours, but when we're out there, we're going as hard as we possibly can. The intensity is as high as it can possibly be. And so working hard is always, you know, that's another one, working hard and putting in the hours and putting in the time to be successful on Sunday. That will be the truth of football for the rest of time as well.
How much does practicing in pads, the young guys being bought in, the way that you've managed to get the young guys to buy into this idea of hitting, it is so unique, Nick. You know, the have fun, play hard, be physical. I'm positive that the be physical part, you have to practice being physical to be physical on Sunday, and you're doing it. And we've seen the videos where you say, hey, guys, see you tomorrow. We're going to be practicing. And everyone loves it. That physicality, how much of that is because practice is physical, more physical, not always walkthroughs, but hitting at times?
I think it starts with, like, to be physical as a football team, you got to get physical players. So that's what we look at, and how he's done a great job of getting the right guys in here. And we talk about that a lot, get tough guys, mentally tough, physically tough guys, because, you know, at the end of the day, those are the guys that are going out. And so those types of players want to be physical. They want to practice with pads when we – you know, and you're restricted for how many times that you can practice in pads and all those different things, you know, as the season continues on. But our guys want to, you know, don't blink an eye when we do that, because they know they've been playing with great physicality, the way they defeat blocks, the way they combo blocks together, the way they are tackling. And we're not going, you know, full to the ground as we practice, but, you know, we're rapping and thudding, and we're doing everything but going to the ground there. These guys have shown me from day one their relentless effort, and I talk about relentless effort on the field a lot, but relentless effort on the practice field, in the meeting room, in walkthrough to get better. They have a relentless will, relentless effort to get better, because we just want to keep getting better, and it's been a fun ride so far. We just want to keep going with this week into Washington.
Hey, Nick, do you message to the guys this week? Will you message the one seed reality? I mean, do you even spend 10 seconds on we want the one seed, or do you not even address that?
Not even a little bit. Our sole focus is control what we can control, and what we can control is our game. Like, that's not to say that fans and you guys shouldn't talk about it all the time. I know you guys will. But
yeah.
Our focus is what can we control? If we keep winning and you know, if we win this week, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, but we can't focus on that. Like, the more you focus on things that you can't control, like the one seed or playing the Giants or the Cowboys, anybody other than the Washington, is the less you're going to focus on the things that you can control that have a direct effect of if you win or lose this week. And I'm a firm believer in that. I think John Wooden, when I read one of his books, he talked a lot about that. The more you you think about the things that you can't control, the less you're going to be able to focus on the things that you can.
Nick, can you talk just for a sec about how last week was such a different type of coaching week for any coach, I'm sure, but for you, you had all of these emotional hurdles to deal with, in addition to a huge game with the Steelers on top of that. You know, are we just unaware as fans how much goes into this every week emotionally, or was last week an especially strange, emotionally fraught week compared to your everyday NFL week 15?
What week are we in here now? 15, 16, everything 16. Gets emotional this late into the season. You know how it is. You're tired. You've been grinding for 4 months, and every week has its own set of things that you deal with. But every week, you still are working to connect with the guys. Every week you're still working to have extreme detail. Every week you're focusing on how we can be mentally tough, physically tough, relentless effort, and reminding them again, just continuing to remind that. I think one thing about leadership is the burden of leadership is repetition, right? Not getting tired of saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again, right? Because that's what your core values and you want everyone to be believing. And so at this time of the year, everything will be that way, but you wouldn't have it any other way, because this is a great time of the year. Not that September football is not. I love September football. I love October football. I love November football. Now we're closing down the stretch, and this week particularly, because it's the next week against the Commanders, is going to be a great week as well.
Nick, final thing here. Jalen Carter, perhaps your best defensive player, could win Defensive Player of the Year this year. Do you worry about his snaps? I know the snaps were low last week because there weren't many plays against you, but he has had a lot this year. Is that a concern for you? Do you try to get him a bit of a breather in the final three games because you're trying to play that game in February?
Yeah, again, our focus is to how we win every game. We owe that to ourselves, and we owe that to you guys. We owe that to our fans of how do you win every single game. Can you imagine him not being in the game and us losing the game because he wasn't in? You'd have a different question for me,
sure.
Wouldn't you?
Yep. But,
we try to manage that. It's like I talked to you guys about with Saquon. You try to manage that through the week with how you practice and how you have to give him some time off here and there. Last week was different, and I know he's had games before that he was, played almost every snap against Baltimore. But last week was different in the sense of, like, that was on our mind last week to be able to rotate a little bit and this and that. But the way the game, when you go three, like, when do you rotate? He's going to start the series, right? And they go three and out, or the offense is on the field for a very long time. Right, then you're like, all right, well, he's only played 35 snaps, so I think it can be confusing sometimes in a game like that to look at the percentages, because, again, everyone was probably higher than their percentage in that game. The guys that are starters, or their percentages were probably all higher. I know Sweaty's was. They were higher there because, again, they didn't get into the flow of drives, or our offense was on the field for so long that, they were able to go a little bit more in their drive because they didn't have a long drive before that. And so, again, like I said, every week we'll do everything we can to win that game. It's on our mind, and we try to manage that as much as we can in practice. But we do also want rotations in our defensive line. Jalen Carter is unique, and I think that's a great question, but I think what you got to look at is, and give Jalen Carter so much credit for, is how good a shape he's in to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And how much he's worked on his body. Like, those, like, that is highly impressive that he can play, like, because you're talking about him, with all this, all the accolades that he could get this year, but he's doing that and he's playing every play because he's in such good shape. And playing at such a high level, like, if we saw a dip in it, then you'd probably be like, all right, let's get him out a little bit more. So, again, a lot of things that go into that, always on our mind, but he's playing really good football.
There he is, Nick Sirianni. I'm with the Morning Show today, talking about Jalen Carter, obviously all the situation this past weekend, and not talking to his team about the one. They're just the one seed. They're just kind of one week-by-week focus here. Let's grab a phone call. A lot to do on the show today, including Ross Tucker, 1230. But Herb from the Northeast wants to squash this whole thing right now. Herb, what's going on?
Listen to me, Doe. This has been going on for a few weeks here. Too many people running their mouth. The guy Chris. And a whole bunch of other ones, okay? Mm-hmm. Your Eagle fans, forget about there ain't no Super Bowl until you win the NFC Championship. You understand?
I agree,
we
yeah.
Got Sunday we got Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. All you fans, okay? All of you, okay? Let the man coach the team. Brandon Graham last week, he said what he had to say. Whatever he said last night, I was in the back room with the Players Association, so I didn't hear
the
whole show. But listen to me. Don't mess with me. Don't mess with my players. Okay? I'm telling you, okay, from my heart, from my brain, all of you, okay? Everybody, yeah, you won a Super Bowl. It don't work that way. First, you got to get the one seed, okay? Whatever, if you make the two team, whatever. But the thing, you have to win in the playoffs. These guys are ready, okay? They know what to do. I was with my lotta last night on extracurricular, okay? So all I'm asking you guys to be patient. All you fans, be patient. The day will come when we get that second trophy, okay? Just calm down. Guys, off the wall.
I'm talking to you, Hugh. Calm down. Don't you ruin this for us, Hugh.
Just relax. It will come. There's teams out there. They can't stop the pass. And Pittsburgh was one of them.
You're darn right, Herb. Good phone call. I haven't heard with the Players Association last night.
Yeah,
that
it
means.
Was. Yeah, no, it was a
the whole NFLPA with Herb.
Well, no, not the whole NFLPA. They had a meeting last night.
And
they
he
had
was
a meeting.
He was invited. Okay.
No, we
better keep your mouth down. And
I mean, you better watch what you say.
I got there late.
Okay,
and
you
I don't remember seeing
I got
Herb.
You. Yeah, I got you. 215-592.
Not saying that he wasn't.
94-94. Your phone call's coming up. Did we overreact as a fan base last week to the whole AJ Jalen Brandon Graham thing? Your thoughts on that? And we got to discuss this Vikings team. Are they for real? Should we include them in this conversation? It's been Lions, Eagles, Lions. How about the Vikings? Do we take them seriously? We'll discuss it next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Show Jilly, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. All right, let's get to the phone lines here, and then we're going to let you hear from Nick Sirianni, what he said this morning to Joe and John. Let's go to Kenny. Who's up? Kenny!
Hey, guys. I just want to make sure that poor widow Huey's widow feelings aren't too hurt.
That ain't funny,
so
Kenny.
Get your widow out of pop.
That is not funny.
Listen, bud. Hey, Hugh. Since when do you care? I mean, look how you dress and come to work, man. Let your freak flag fly. If they say it's your fault, then damn right it's my fault. Own it, man. Own it. Because you know what? Just like I can't believe I'm bleeding with Chuck from Mount Air, but he's right. Every team has some sort of rallying cry. Remember Malcolm Jenkins? We all we got, we all we need. Remember the dog masks? All right, so now you should be saying, we're winning because of you, Hugh. Because you kept the damn thing going. It pissed them off, and they're winning. Own it.
I kind of like this. I should take credit for this. This is not because of Jalen Hurts. It's because of me they played well last week. I like that idea.
I like how he said, look how you dress when you come to work.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny, just because he dresses like Cousin Eddie, I mean, doesn't mean anything.
You know what? You got a point. I was in my feelings this morning, man. I just was like, you know. I woke up and it was cold. I was like, damn it, it's not my fault.
Well, it's funny. Kenny, Hugh walked in. He's like, this doesn't have to be the show, but I'm fired up about this. And Kyle and I were like, no, this is it. I mean, this is what we're going to do now.
No, I'm just listening and I'm like, dude, how is this my fault? But then I get it.
And own it. Yeah, own it.
It's all your fault, Hugh.
I need to own it. Yes. I need to own it.
You are
now,
just negative, Nancy. Go ahead.
You dress like a toddler, though.
Keep in mind with the Vikings a couple things. The Vikings and the Lions have to play the last game of the season, but one of them's got to lose.
Yep.
And either a loss or a tie helps us. And as far as the Vikings go, I don't care about them, except for 2022, we do not go to the Super Bowl without beating the Vikings in the playoffs. 80, 2004, 2017, the Vikings are our ticket to the Super Bowl. So I want them to keep winning.
That's a good point, Kenny. Yeah, we need to beat them to get to the Super Bowl. All right, and we probably will have to. All right, Kenny, we appreciate it. All right, let's hear Sirianni. He was on this morning. He addressed the last week. He addressed the situation. And now looking forward as this football team is on the path to potentially having a one seed. Here's Sirianni with Joe and John.
And Nick Sirianni joins us right now. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Nick, hi, Nick.
Congratulations on a 10-game winning streak. I mean, that is first time in the franchise history. It's a remarkable achievement. And, of course, from last week with some drama that was kicking around, I've got to imagine you are exceedingly proud of your football team and what you guys have been able to accomplish the last couple months now.
Yeah, that was a tough football team we played this week. We came out with a win. And to do something with this organization, to do something that's never been done in this organization, that always feels good. But you know what? That lasted for a little bit, and now we're on to the Commanders.
Nick, was last week tough for you or not?
You know, again, like last week, there obviously we talked about this. Like, you know, there was some outside noise as we saw, and you know what our what I saw that after, and you know, obviously we kind of created it, right? But after we kind of addressed it and went through it, it was kind of a, you know, it was just kind of non-issue for us anymore. We just went back to work. And again, I just have so much respect for these guys and the resiliency that they have, and the, you know, no matter what it is, they're locked in, they're focused, and they're ready to go. And I think, again, I know, you know, again, you guys only get to see a little bit part of this, but that story lasted for the week of for the outside world. But for us, it was a, you know, I'm not gonna sit here and say it didn't. You know, we talked about it, we spent some time on it, but it lasted one and a half days, and then we had moved on.
Did it feel like Jalen was affirming you when he spoke of watering specific areas of the yard from week to week, game plan to game plan?
Oh, I don't know. We say a lot, I say a lot of things he says. He says a lot of things I say. And, you know, I think that happens because we spend so much time together. You know, I think I've said a lot. The standard is what it is, and I know that's a big line Jalen says. So we spend a lot of time together. We want what's best for this football team, and man, I'm so glad he's our quarterback.
So we saw the benefits of watering the passing game last week. What do you think still needs watering for this team?
Yeah, just to get better every single day. You know, we have things, we have specific things we always want to work on. You know, there's going to be a new set of things to work on versus particular opponents, like particularly the Commanders this week. And so we just want to keep getting better. We want to just keep putting, you know, money in our account so we can keep getting better. And that's all our focus is. Again, I think what happened, you know, again, I've said this multiple times that I really believe that our passing game has been so efficient through the past couple months. Now I know we haven't thrown for a lot of yards, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's hard to rush for all the yards we've rushed for and throw for all the yards as well. It's just not enough plays in the game. There's not enough things, you know, not enough ball to go around for that. And so, but I feel like we've been highly efficient. You know, looking at Jalen's quarterback rating, looking at the yards per attempt, looking at how many turnovers we've had. And so he's just been highly efficient, and you know it was good to get some passing yards the way the game was being played this week. But I just think, you know, again, we've continued to improve in every area of our game, from our fundamentals, offensively, defensively, special teams wise, and we just got to keep on our path, and our focus will be solely on the Washington Commanders this week.
It appeared that Jalen made quicker choices and threw more 50-50 balls into the single coverages that you guys were getting against the Steelers. What went into that? That risk reward balance in the passing game being just dead on this week.
Yeah, you know, we with AJ Brown, because those vertical balls were going to him, we don't look at those as 50-50. With Jalen putting it on the money like he did, like AJ has maybe the best ball skills I've ever seen. Not maybe, he has the best ball skills I've ever seen.
Wow.
Of a receiver that I've been around or that I've watched. And he just, you can tell how much catch AJ played growing up. He's obviously got a God given ability, to be able to catch a football. But you can just tell, like, I could just see him, you know, growing up playing catch with the football, with the baseball, and it's just so impressive to watch him track a football. And Jalen put those things right on the money. I mean, it really, we're seeing something special every time that there's a deep ball from Jalen to AJ, because Jalen throws a pretty deep ball, and AJ, like I said, man, he's got an incredible ability to track the football.
Nick Sirianni with us right now, obviously riding high with the 10-game winning streak and you know, playoff berth already and a shot to win it all this year. You know, Nick, I've got a theory. You know, we have a lot of theories and a lot of conversation here at WIP about your team and you. And one of the things that has struck me is I think that you, I don't know if it's intentional or not, and that's what I want to find out, blend new school and old school principles as a coach. And I'm curious from your standpoint how intentional it is. I mean, here's the way I see it. New school, and you were criticized for some of this upon your arrival as a head coach. Connectivity, less taxing training camps. You clearly don't publicly criticize your players. Bobby Knight did not adhere to that rule, by the way. But old school, and you've been big on this for 4 years. We hear you talk about it. Accountability. We saw you get on Jalen Carter the other day during the game. Physical toughness. You constantly talk about you want your team to be physically tough, mentally tough, which, of course, you know, I think you term dog mentality. But basically what you're saying is be resilient. Attention to detail. I mean, these are traits that the Bobby Knights of the world would admire. And I'm curious if you can speak to how intentional it has been from your standpoint to blend old school principles and new school principles with your coaching.
Yeah, sure. That's a good question. I think that, you know, there are truths to this sport and any sport, really, that are going to stand the test of time, no matter if it's when Bobby Knight's coaching, when I'm coaching, you name a coach in 20 years from now, 40 years from now, when I'm long gone. Like, those, like, playing with high detail is going to be important. Having accountability to get better, right? Accountability, again, it's all about how do we get better. It's not an attack on anything. It's just how do we get better from the moments that we did well on, or the moments that we failed to live up to our standard. all those things, tough physical toughness in this sport. Shoot, I mean, you know, I know my kids. I say to them every time they go out, have fun, play hard, be physical. My three kids, and you know, they're going to be saying that because it's going to be the truth, no matter if you know, again, whatever year it is. Those are the truths of football, and so that is the old school approach that we have, because it's just so, you know, it's so what it is, and it's always going to be that way, and it's never going to change, especially in this physical sport of football. As far as the, whatever you want to say, new school, you know, where did I learn how important it is to connect? Well, from my dad with his former players, and my college coach so much with him, and those guys are as old school as they get. And so, I don't know, it's just the things that when you come up with the core values of what you want your programs and your team to be based off of, you look at all the good places that you've been and what's been the common denominator of it. And that's all that is. So some of it may be looked at as old school. Some of it may be looked at as new school. I know that my dad, I didn't get it from my dad. I knew they used to have camp practices where they'd have 3 days, right? So like, I don't think I got that far from them.
Yeah.
Cause the rules are a little bit different at this particular point, but make no mistake about it. Like, you know, because you say training camp, this and that. Our guys practice hard. It's a different type of way you do it. You might not be out there for 3 hours, but when we're out there, we're going as hard as we possibly can. The intensity is as high as it can possibly be. And so working hard is always, you know, that's another one. Working hard and putting in the hours and putting in the time to be successful on Sunday, that will be the truth of football for the rest of time as well.
How much does practicing in pads, the young guys being bought in, the way that you've managed to get the young guys to buy into this idea of hitting, it is so unique, Nick. You know, the have fun, play hard, be physical. I'm positive that the be physical part, you have to practice being physical to be physical on Sunday, and you're doing it. And we've seen the videos where you say, hey, guys, see you tomorrow. We're going to be practicing. And everyone loves it. That physicality, how much of that is because practice is physical, more physical, not always walkthroughs, but hitting at times?
I think it starts with, like, to be physical as a football team, you got to get physical players. So that's what we look at, and how he's done a great job of getting the right guys in here. And we talk about that a lot, get tough guys, mentally tough, physically tough guys, because, you know, at the end of the day, those are the guys that are going out. And so those types of players want to be physical. They want to practice with pads when we, you know, and you're restricted for how many times that you can practice in pads and all those different things, you know, as the season continues on. But our guys want to, you know, don't blink an eye when we do that, because they know they've been playing with great physicality, the way they defeat blocks, the way they combo blocks together, the way they are tackling. And we're not going, you know, full to the ground as we practice, but, you know, we're wrapping and thudding, and we're doing everything but going to the ground there. These guys have shown me from day one their relentless effort. And I talk about relentless effort on the field a lot, but relentless effort on the practice field, in the meeting room, in walkthrough to get better. They have a relentless will, relentless effort to get better, because we just want to keep getting better. And it's been a fun ride so far. We just want to keep going with this week into Washington.
Hey, Nick, do you message to the guys this week? Will you message the one seed reality? I mean, do you even spend 10 seconds on we want the one seed, or do you not even address that?
Not even a little bit. Our sole focus is control what we can control, and what we can control is our game. Like, you know, and that's not to say that fans and you guys shouldn't talk about it all the time. I know you guys will. But
yeah.
Our focus is what can we control? If we keep winning and you know, if we win this week, you know, we'll see what happens, you know, but we can't focus on that. Like, the more you focus on things that you can't control, like the one seed or playing the Giants or the Cowboys, anybody other than the Washington, is the less you're going to focus on the things that you can control that have a direct effect of if you win or lose this week. And I'm a firm believer in that. I think John Wooden, when I read one of his books, he talked a lot about that. The more you you think about the things that you can't control, the less you're going to be able to focus on the things that you can.
Nick, can you talk just for a sec about how last week was such a different type of coaching week for any coach, I'm sure, but for you, you had all of these emotional hurdles to deal with, in addition to a huge game with the Steelers on top of that. You know, are we just unaware as fans how much goes into this every week emotionally, or was last week an especially strange, emotionally fraught week compared to your everyday NFL week 15?
What week are we in here now? It's 15, 16, everything 16. Gets emotional this late into the season. You know how it is. You're tired. You've been grinding for 4 months, and every week has its own set of things that you deal with. But every week, you still are working to connect with the guys. Every week you're still working to have extreme detail. Every week you're focusing on how we can be mentally tough, physically tough, relentless effort, and reminding them again, just continuing to remind that. I think one thing about leadership is the burden of leadership is repetition, right? Not getting tired of saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again, right? Because that's what your core values and you want everyone to be believing. And so at this time of the year, everything will be that way, but you wouldn't have it any other way, because this is a great time of the year. Not that September football is not. I love September football. I love October football. I love November football. Now we're closing down the stretch, and this week particularly, because it's the next week against the Commanders, is going to be a great week as well.
Nick, final thing here. Jalen Carter, perhaps your best defensive player, could win Defensive Player of the Year this year. Do you worry about his snaps? I know the snaps were low last week because there weren't many plays against you, but he has had a lot this year. Is that a concern for you? Do you try to get him a bit of a breather in the final three games because you're trying to play that game in February?
Yeah, again, our focus is to how we win every game. We owe that to ourselves, and we owe that to you guys. We owe that to our fans of how do you win every single game. Can you imagine him not being in the game and us losing the game because he wasn't in? You'd have a different question for me, wouldn't
sure.
you?
Yep.
But, we try to manage that. That's like I talked to you guys about with Saquon. You try to manage that through the week with how you practice and how you have to give him some time off here and there. Last week was different, and I know he's had games before that he was, played almost every snap against Baltimore. But last week was different in the sense of, like, that was on our mind last week to be able to rotate a little bit and this and that. But the way the game, when you go three, like, when do you rotate? He's going to start the series, right? And they go three and out, or the offense is on the field for a very long time. Right. Then you're like, all right, well, he's only played 35 snaps. So I think it can be confusing sometimes in a game like that to look at the percentages because, again, everyone was probably higher than their percentage in that game. The guys that are starters, or their percentages were probably all higher. I know Sweaty's was, they were higher there because again, they didn't get into the flow of drives, or, our offense was on the field for so long that, they were able to go a little bit more in their drive because they didn't have a long drive before that. And so, again, like I said, every week we'll do everything we can to win that game. It's on our mind, and we try to manage that as much as we can in practice. But we do also want rotations in our defensive line. Jalen Carter's unique, and I think that's a great question, but I think what you got to look at is, and give Jalen Carter so much credit for, is how good a shape he's in to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And how much he's worked on his body. Like, those, like, that is highly impressive that he can play, like, because you're talking about him, with all this, all the accolades that he could get this year, but he's doing that and he's playing every play because he's in such good shape. And playing at such a high level, like, if we saw a dip in it, then you'd probably be like, all right, let's get him out a little bit more. So, again, a lot of things that go into that, always on our mind, but he's playing really good football.
There he is, Nick Sirianni on with the morning show today, talking about Jalen Carter, obviously all the situation this past weekend, and not talking to his team about the one. They're just the one seed. They're just kind of one week-by-week focus here. Let's grab a phone call. A lot to do on the show today, including Ross Tucker, 1230. But Herb from the Northeast wants to squash this whole thing right now. Herb, what's going on?
Listen to me, Doe. This has been going on for a few weeks here. Too many people running their mouth. The guy Chris. And a whole bunch of other ones, okay? Mm-hmm. Your Eagle fans, forget about there ain't no Super Bowl until you win the NFC Championship. You understand?
I agree,
we
yeah.
Got Sunday we got Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. All you fans, okay? All of you, okay? Let the man coach the team. Brandon Graham last week, he said what he had to say. Whatever he said last night, I was in the back room with the Players Association, so I didn't hear
the
whole show. But listen to me. Don't mess with me. Don't mess with my players. Okay? I'm telling you, okay, from my heart, from my brain, all you, okay? Everybody, yeah, you won a Super Bowl. It don't work that way. First, you got to get the one seed, okay? Whatever, if you make the two team, whatever. But the thing, you have to win in the playoffs. These guys are ready, okay? They know what to do. I was with my lotta last night on extracurricular, okay? So I'm asking you guys to be patient. All you fans, be patient. The day will come when we get that second trophy, okay? Just calm down. Guys, off the wall.
I'm talking to you, Hugh. Calm down. Don't you ruin this for us, Hugh.
Just relax. It will come. There's teams out there. They can't stop the fans. And Pittsburgh was one of them.
You're darn right, Herb. Good phone call. I haven't heard with the Players Association last night.
Yeah,
that
it
means.
Was. Yeah, no, it was
the whole NFLPA with Herb.
Well, no, not the whole NFLPA. They had a meeting last night.
And
they
he
had
was
a meeting.
He was invited. Okay.
No, we
better keep your mouth down. And
I mean,
you better watch what you say.
I got there late.
Okay,
and
you
I don't remember seeing
I got
Herb.
You. Yeah, I got you. 215-592.
Not saying that he wasn't.
94-94. Your phone call's coming up. Did we overreact as a fan base last week to the whole AJ Jalen Brandon Graham thing? Your thoughts on that? And we got to discuss this Vikings team. Are they for real? Should we include them in this conversation? It's been Lions, Eagles, Lions. How about the Vikings? Do we take them seriously? We'll discuss it next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.